Hey, good Monday morning to you. It is time now for the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And your hosts are WK and Ken Boyce. And good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
On this cool and wet Monday morning, it's good to be here. Good to see you, Dan.
Thank you. Good to see you.
And I'm glad that you're listening to us this morning. I ask that if you'd like to give us a call, call us at 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056 or star 56 on your cell phone.
This morning we are talking about fathers. Father's Day is coming up June 15th.
Yeah, it's this next Sunday.
And what an important job it is to be a father. One of the most important jobs in the world. And we got 40% of the men out there that are failing. 40%. Now, Ken, how in the world can you come up with that? Well, we got right now about 40% of the kids going to sleep at night without their fathers being there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then sitting here as we're coming into the studio, listening to Dan and his guests talk about things that are going on college campuses and how can this be and you know, what's happening into the world and what can we do to stop it. Gentlemen, one of the best things we can do is to step up and be a man and be a dad. Get back to being fathers to our kids. No amount of security, no amount of screenings, checkpoints, or anything else is going to take care of this. It's parents being there for their children and teaching their children. And that's part of what we're talking about today is, as we look forward to Father's Day, of actually celebrating what it means to be a dad. You know, so many times a stereotypical dad you see is just that he's a dunce that sits in his lazy boy recliner with the remote. Doesn't know what's going on, seems to be clueless, has no idea someone's talking bad about him right in front of him instead of talking behind his back. They don't have to. And that's not what being a father is. So this morning, let's enjoy it. Let's find out what it takes to be the greatest dad in the world. If you'd like to give us a call, phone number again, 862-9977, 1-800-375-0056.
Yeah, you know, dads, it takes a lot of time to be a dad. And I know a lot of us guys are out here, we're working, and we're trying to do all that we can do to make a living. You know, some of us are working two jobs, some are working three jobs, just trying to pay the bills, trying to get enough income coming in to buy those shoes and those clothes.
Gasoline.
Oh, that's a big one right now. You know, it just takes a lot of money, and it takes time to make that money. And we're not negating that at all. And we're not in denial about that. But what we want to do is to encourage us all, as men, those of us who've chosen to bring children into the world, to step up, as Ken said, and be a dad. And it takes time. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. It takes commitment to step forward and say, I'm going to be your dad. And there's no other person on earth that can do that the way that I can. I'm going to step up and be a dad to you. I'm going to show you what being a dad means, that you will remember the rest of your life.
It's men that show boys how to be a man, what it means to be a man.
Mm-hmm. Only men can bring boys into manhood. And we've said that on this program many times.
But it's also the dad's job that helps his daughter identify who she is. Her femininity, because it's opposite from his. It's also who she'll marry. Because, gentlemen, she'll marry someone just like you. And if you're a great dad, if you're a great husband, and if the world revolves around your family, they're going to know it. And they're going to look for someone who have those qualities. And if you're deadbeat, abusive, just not there, they'll find someone to treat them just the same. It's amazing. The cycles that repeat. So it's important what we do. How are we living?
I came across an article by Kirby Anderson talking about atheists. He did a study on atheists and their fathers. He was interested in trying to understand how the relationship of fathers impacts children, or if it does at all. And he was looking at a book, A Faith of the Fatherless, by Paul Vitz. And Vitz was a psychologist who was an atheist himself until he was in his late 30s. And he began to wonder if psychology played a role in one's belief about God. Well, after all, secular psychologists have been saying that belief in God is really nothing more than infantile wish fulfillment, is how they put it. Dr. Vitz wondered that if the shoe was really on the other foot, could it be that atheists are engaged in unconscious wish fulfillment? Well, after studying the lives of more than a dozen of the world's most influential atheists, Dr. Vitz discovered that they all had one thing in common, and that one thing in common were defective relationships with their fathers. The relationship was defective because the father was either dead, or that father was abusive, or that father was weak, or that father had abandoned his children. And when he studied the lives of influential theists during those same historical time periods, those who believed in God, theists, he found they enjoyed a strong, loving relationship with a father, or a father substitute if the father was dead. They had a strong male role model in their life.
Uh-huh. That could be either an uncle or a granddad or someone like that.
It sure could. And many times is. We looked at Friedrich Nietzsche, and he lost his father, who was a pastor, who was a preacher, a minister. Nietzsche lost his father before he was 5 years old. And one biographer wrote that Nietzsche was passionately attached to his father and that the shock of losing him was profound. And Dr. Fitch writes that Nietzsche had a strong, intellectually macho reaction against a dead, very Christian father. Nietzsche is best known as the philosopher who said, God is dead. It certainly seems possible that his rejection of God and Christianity was a rejection of the weakness of his father, or the deadness of his father. Mm-hmm. And contrasting Nietzsche with the life of Pascal, the famous mathematician and religious writer who lived at a time in Paris when there was a considerable skepticism about religion. And he said that Pascal's father, Etienne, was a wealthy judge and also an able mathematician. He was known as a good man with religious convictions. Pascal's mother died when he was 3, so his father gave up his law practice and homeschooled Pascal and his sisters. And so he had an ongoing relationship with a very loving, caring, giving dad.
And to that point, he had written Les Pensées, which is Thoughts. It was a powerful defense of Christianity, and it also attacked skepticism of Christianity.
Yeah. So dads, we want to emphasize the influence of a dad. Whether that dad is there and vibrant, active with his children, or whether he is gone, or he is detached, or he is ambivalent toward his kids, maybe even be weak or abusive toward his kids. The results are so different according to the dad.
Yeah, your actions or inactions will have consequences both ways.
Yeah, so as we talk about dads, and we talk about honoring dads this Sunday on Father's Day, they set aside to honor our dads. I'd just like to ask all of us, what are some of the memories about our dad? What are some of the memories? I know some of us have really wonderful memories of dad, and some of us have horrible memories of dad. Perhaps our dad was a good man, and he was a Christian man. He was a man of faith. He was a man who based his life on principle and was virtuous. And what Proverbs says in Proverbs 17, he's a righteous man. That as children, you are reaping the benefits of his righteousness. Or he may have been a very weak or abusive man or a distant man. Or he may have been a man that abandoned you. And you're certainly reaping the results of that as well. What are the memories of dad? Or if your dad, you never knew your real dad, what are the memories of the man that came forward and stepped forward and said, I want to be a dad to you? A lot of men do that. Children who have fathers who have abandoned them, fathers who are no longer available for them, these men will step forward who marry their mother and say, I want to be a dad to you. I want to treat you like you were my child. I want you to see me as your dad, and I'll take care of you.
Oh, that's a tough job.
Really tough. Really tough. Now, being a dad is the hardest work we ever really do. And as guys, we can't be a mom. That role wasn't given to us. We can't be a mom, but we can be a dad. And the effects of fathers on our kids is just staggering.
Parenting is not gender neutral. So many times we kind of lump them all in together. Well, you got to be a good parent. Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a mother and a father. There are things that a mother can do that a father cannot do or be, and vice versa. So parenting in its real form is not gender neutral. And so many times we want to kind of lump them all into one person, and it can't be that one person. Children need to have the input of both sexes, both male and female. And it's important for sons to have a mother. It's important for sons to have a father. Same thing with daughters. There are differences. And that's part of what we're wanting to celebrate. When we look at Mother's Day and we look at Father's Day, just like any other moment in time where we have a special time, it is for the remembrance of what the importance was. We had Memorial Day, not, you know, just a couple weeks ago, to remember the sacrifices that were made. And that's what we're asking with Father's Day this year, with Mother's Day, is what is that importance? Do we recognize it? Do we remember it? Do we practice that importance of what it means to be a father or to be a mother?
Yeah, I think it's significant that we have made special days to honor mom and to honor dad, and that the roles are not interchangeable. Now, we're both parents. We both have authority as a parent. But those roles are not interchangeable. And as children, we need both roles. We need to have our needs met by both of those roles, by a mom and a dad. You know, mom can be very tender, nurturing, and caring, and sacrificial, and she can be a mom to us. And dads can be there, and he can be tender, caring, sacrificing, and nurturing as well. But dad's also got some things that mom doesn't have, and that he can display for children that mom can, and mom can do some things for the children that dad can't. And so we need both. The ideal family is mom, dad, and the kids. Now, I'm liable to get shot in some circles by saying that, because I'll be accused of, well, you're just not realizing the nature of the makeup of the American family today. But I'm going to tell you something. Research, ongoing research, past research shows that kids thrive better. Their needs are met better in two-parent families. The kids grow up stronger in two-parent families. It doesn't mean that those families don't have any problems. It means that they have two parents to meet their needs. Okay? So we need to put out, just as Scripture does, that we need strong fathers and mothers raising our kids. We've got to have those.
Well, WK, part of what we've talked about, even the foundation of what Springfield Marriage and Family Institute is to rebuild and reestablish the foundation of what a healthy family, a healthy community, and healthy society is. From the ground up, this is a bottoms-up approach, starting at the individual. Springfield MFI was built on this paradigm shift. We talked about the family psychologist that back in 1940 said the outlook of someone being happily married was just not very good because one in six would end in a divorce. And if the trend didn't change, if the trend continued, by 1947 it would be one in four. And if the trend still continued, by 50 years it would be one in two ending in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
He was right. But we've also seen in that same time period increases in basically child delinquency. Kids, young men going into prison more. Why? Because dads aren't there. The breakdown of the family leads to a lot of the same issues that we're having as a society. We're having to deal with is because of the breakdown in the family. And so this is important to restore what the family is, what the family should be. And that's why the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute was founded. It is a learning institute, an institute where people can go and reestablish what it should be. If you came from a home that was broken a half a dozen different ways, mom had three different husbands, dad had more than girlfriends than you ever knew, and you just, how do you be married? How can you say, I'm going to walk down the aisle and this is forever? Because none of us walk down the aisle to say maybe, or, well, till I get bored with you. Everyone who walks down the aisle to say I do intends on being with that person for the rest of their life. So how do we do that? That's what you can learn at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. That's what we were founded. Because if we can restore the family, if we can restore the individual and the family, then you reverse the trend. Fathers, do you know the power you have on society? On the future? If we understood what we were capable of influencing, how would we do it? It is staggering to think of the consequences that our grandchildren will have to live through and put up with for our decisions. So we want to restore that, restore the importance of fathers, restore the importance of mothers, and the importance of families.
Yeah. And as Ken said, if you grew up in a family that was splintered 100 different ways, you can still learn how to have the family that brings forth the greatest fulfillment in life. You can learn the skills. You can learn what it means to be committed to one spouse throughout your lifetime. What it means to be committed, remain committed to your children, and learn how to work through problems, how to work through difficulties, how to address issues that are handed down to you from four generations ago, and resolve them in your life. so that you don't pass them down on to your children and grandchildren. You can learn how to do that more effectively. And you can model for your children something that you never had in your life growing up. And you can impact the next four generations coming up behind you. To me, that's just awesome. That's awesome. Ken Canfield, a well-known name in American culture about fathers and really known about working with fathers since about 1990. Ken Canfield's observations and studies of effective fathers have led him to what he calls the calmness factor, which he illustrates with an acronym, CALM, C-A-L-M.
And if you're driving right now, I'm going to take a quick break. If you're driving right now and you're getting ready to go into the office, you're like, whoa, wait a second, I don't want to get out of the car yet. This right now is being streamed live. So if you're driving around getting ready to go into your home and your office, you can go to springfieldmfi.com, and on the homepage, there's a Listen Live Now. So feel free to click that and listen to it at work, listen to it at your home. If you're out driving around, also, if you're wanting to go, oh, what was that acronym? CALM. Okay? This will be archived later on. And so you can go back to the website, springfieldmfi.com, and be able to listen to this again on the archives. So if you're trying to grab a pen, trying to figure out what CALM is, the acronym, it's okay. We've got a couple different ways you can be able to continue on. So,
yeah, indeed. The acronym CALM. Let me tell you what it's for. And I think this is great. Ken Canfield did a great job with this. He says, first of all, the C stands for consistent. What effective fathers are consistent. They're predictable. They're steady in their mood. And their children know what to expect from him. So he's consistent. He's predictable. The A stands for awareness. Awareness. Dads need to be aware of their children's developmental issues, their desires, their needs, and they're alert to the issues their children are facing. Dads are studying their kids. They are aware. They make it a point. They make it their business to know what's going on in their children's lives. Therefore, fathers can help develop their children's strengths and their talents and not tear them down by having unreasonable expectations of their kids. So many times I work with young people, especially teenagers, who tell me my folks know nothing about my life. I know my parents really don't know what's going on with me. And they feel as though they can't communicate with their dad or with their mom or with their mom and dad together, but especially dad. And who they need to talk to the most in many of these situations is dad. Because dads have such a profound impact on the kids. So dads, we need to study our kids to be aware of what their developmental issues, desires, and needs really are. The L in CALM stands for listening. Effective listening means listening without interruption, as well as allowing the kids to express themselves freely without criticism. Yeah, I know as men, many times when we're listening, we listen for about, oh, I don't know, 8 or 10 seconds, and we know the solution to the problem. And if we just give them the solution to the problem, they can fix it, and we can move on to the next project. That's how most of us guys are. But dads, our kids need for us to listen to them all the way through. To listen effectively means listening without interrupting them. Now, our minds may be going 90 miles an hour. We may not like what we're hearing. We may be offended by what we're hearing. We may be angry about what we're hearing, but we need to listen without interrupting them, as well as allowing them to express themselves freely and without criticizing them. So many parents are frustrated. So many dads are frustrated saying, my kids never talk to me. Well, it may be that they know you won't listen. We are drawn to people who will listen to us. We're drawn to talk to people who will listen to us. And there's a difference in talking to your children and talking with your children without interrupting, accepting them, without criticism. And the M in CALM stands for mature modeling. That's kind of a double M. But mature modeling. Effective dads demonstrate behaviors and attitudes that they want their children to learn, including a willingness to be humble and seek forgiveness for any wrongdoing. I have people who tell me my dad never once told me he was sorry about anything. I never heard my dad say at all to my mom, to any of us, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But one of the most powerful mature characteristics that fathers can do for their kids is to model confession, to model asking for forgiveness. When you know that you've done something wrong, when you've messed it up, you've just really made a mess of it, you need to go and say, you know, I was wrong. And if we want our children to come back to us at some point and say, Dad, you know, I really messed it up. I really messed up. I was wrong. Then we have to model that for them. So calm. Fathers, consistent. Fathers that are predictable. Aware. Dads that are aware of their kids' needs and what the issues their kids are facing. They're listening. Listening without interruption. Allowing them to express themselves freely without criticism. And mature modeling. Demonstrating those behaviors that we want our kids to have in their life. So I like that acronym, CALM, C-A-L-M, CALM, fathers.
What was your dad like? What were you like as a dad? Join us in studio. Phone number is 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening online, 1-800-375-0056. Dan, how many kids do you have?
I have 3 children.
How do you like being a dad?
Probably the best part of my life when they were young. I love being a dad.
How many grandchildren?
2 grandchildren. And I love being a grandfather. That's yeah. I always thought I was a good one, a good dad. I always thought I was a good dad.
You know, Proverbs says, grandchildren are the glory or the crown of the aged. Now, I'm not saying you're old, Dan. I'm not saying that.
You could use a better word than aged, all right?
Because I'm a granddad myself, I know.
Elderly, I don't like that either.
Elderly, I was going to use elderly, but I better not use that.
Grandchildren,
senior,
are the
seniors, okay.
Yeah, seniors, all right.
Grandchildren are the reward for not killing your own kids.
That is true. I like that.
You know, the wisdom that grandparents have, the things that they allow grandchildren to do that they would never allow us as their own kids to do. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and have another piece of chocolate. Have 2. Get 1 in each hand on your way out.
Yeah, and have a Coke while you're at it. Have a soda while you're at it.
Where was this wisdom when we were growing up as their children? And that's part of what we're talking about today, you know. What do also, as a father, what do we learn from our dads to pass on to our kids? Them now being in the grandfather role. It's amazing how many times my dad has come up, son, you don't have to be so hard on them kids.
Oh, that's right.
Where was this wisdom when I was growing up?
Well, those are words that my dad passed on to me when you were small.
And I'm sure you thought the very same
when
thing.
When you were small. Yeah, where was this wisdom? Where did he learn this, you know? It was great. It's great, but it's wisdom that's passed from one generation down to the next now. Okay? And we really don't have to be as hard on our kids when we're young parents as we think we need to be.
And that's the difference between being authoritative versus authoritarian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think part of that's just having a certain maturity as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
In realizing what the role of a parent is.
And part of it's just life experiences, too. Life experiences. You know, when we're a young dad, we've never been a dad before. We're our first child. We've never been a dad before. We've been a son or a daughter before, but we've never been a dad. Okay? To know that, wow.
There is a learning curve.
The shoe's on the other foot. Now, what do we do? How do we know what to do as a dad? Except perhaps model what was done by our dad. Or granddad, or uncle, or whoever. Yeah.
This morning we're talking about fathers. If you'd like to join us in studio, 862-9977, 1-800-375-0056. We'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your host, once again, WK and Ken Boyce on the second half of the show.
What does it mean to be a father? Father's Day is coming up. Every once in a while, I have good quotes of the day.
You do, yeah.
And sometimes they're a little off the wall. These, I think, really best describe fathers. Pope John Paul XXIII, it's easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father. That kind of explains the choice we have there. Harmon Killebrew? My father used to play with my brother and me in the yard. Mother would come out and yell, "You're tearing up the grass." "We're not raising grass," Dad would reply. "We're raising boys."
I like that. That is so true. Yeah.
Small boys become big men through the influence of big men who care about small boys. We've talked about that this morning.
Yeah.
Fanny Fern, to her, the name of father was another name for love.
Yeah. That's true for a lot of people.
Especially daughters. The relationship that daughters have with their dads is profound. It's absolutely incredible. But gentlemen, take heart. This is from Bill Cosby. If the new American father feels bewildered, even defeated, let him take comfort from the fact that whatever he does in any fathering situation, he has a 50% chance of being right. The wisdom of Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have different perspectives on fatherhood, depending on what age we are. Would you say that's right, Dan?
That's right.
Age 4 years, my daddy can do anything. That's incredible. You look up and he's Superman. You know, you go to try to turn a bolt and you can't get it to budge, and he goes over and grips the pliers and whoop, and it comes off like it couldn't have been stuck. 7 years. My dad knows a lot. A whole lot. At 8 years, my father does not know quite everything. 12 years. Oh well, naturally father does not know that either. Teenage years. Oh, father, he's hopelessly old-fashioned. At 21, man, he is just out of date. Get with it. Come on. 25 years, he knows a little bit, but not much. At 30 years, I must find out what Dad thinks about this. 35, before we decide, let's get Dad's opinion first. 50 years. What would Dad have thought about that? At 60 years, I realized my dad knew everything. And at 65 years, I wish I could talk it over with him just one more time. How do we look at our own fathers? How are we now being fathers?
Yeah, as I said earlier, fathers and mothers make different but equally important contributions to the well-being of our kids. But fathers especially affect or influence self-esteem, academic achievement, and healthy sex role development in both sons and daughters. And children who have close, warm relationships with their fathers are better adjusted psychologically. They perform better at school. They are less likely to be involved in antisocial behavior. And throughout their whole lifetime, those kids who grow up to be those adults establish stronger relationships with their peers. The effect of father is just remarkable. The father should symbolize unique virtues. And I think that's what as men, as fathers, we do. As dads, that's what we do. And there are four virtues I'd like to point out this morning that we symbolize to kids. We need to. The first one is strength. As Ken said a minute ago, that four-year-old said, "My dad can do anything. He is so strong." And for our small kids, dad is about 4 or 5 times their size and 6 or 8 times their weight. So he is huge, and he is so strong. He can turn those bolts, and he can lift things that are just beyond comprehension at that age.
He can throw us in the air.
Pick us up and throw us. Way up in the air. Yeah. And fathers who wrestle with their kids and pick them up and throw them around in play actually has a tremendous benefit for the kids. For them to feel that strength, it gives them that sense of security and stability. That this father, this dad, is this strong. Wow.
It was an amazing thing. My daughter comes downstairs and goes, "Daddy, catch me." Well, this is really good when they're 3 or 4. This is easy. Then they turn 8 or 9. And they're 3 times the size. Catch me! Okay. She has every faith in the world I will catch her.
Yeah.
That's an incredible, incredible feeling for her. Security.
Yeah. Yeah, the second characteristic that I really want to nail down this morning for us dads is to model the virtue of authority. Authority. God has bestowed authority on the dads as the head of the household. Dads have a higher accountability with God. Men have a higher accountability. And if we choose to bring children into the world, we have a higher accountability. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Fathers, that's not moms. That's not moms. That means, dad, you are engaged with the kids because you have authority. You have authority to be a dad. You have the authority to be there, to be present, to be involved in their life. You have the authority to set the boundaries. That's what I teach parents. Dad, you have authority to set boundaries. The one who is the authority always sets the boundaries. And dads, that's our responsibility, to not only set those boundaries, but we're the voice of authority in the family. Especially as our sons get older, our sons and daughters get older, mom becomes a little less strong physically. Okay? And with boys especially, with our sons especially, as dads, we're the ones who say, you will respect your mother. You will respect a woman. You will respect all women. Because that's the right thing to do.
Think about it. As young men, we're going from boys into teenage years. By the time we're 13, physically, we are stronger.
Many times stronger than mom at that age.
Many times. And who is it that keeps us in check?
As dads, we're the ones who say, you will respect your mother.
And we talked about the herd of elephants that they were trying to reestablish a herd in another part of Africa. And they got some young bulls in there to try to reestablish the herd. And the bulls went to just tearing the place apart, to the point the game warden was about to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other wardens had been on the job years and years and said, no, that's not what it takes. Went up and got a couple of the old bulls to come in and brought them in. And the old bulls settled the young guys down.
Had a calming effect on them. Yeah, need those old bulls, you know. We need that senior leadership. We need that authority of maleness that dads have. And it's not being authoritarian. That's not what we're talking about. It's not being heavy-handed. But to be the authority, successful fathers provide an easy leadership, one man said. I like that. Which makes children want to do what's right. Successful parents, in fact, really are rarely authoritarian. Healthy parents are not heavy-handed. Healthy dads are not heavy-handed. But when dad speaks, dad is spoken. And what rules are there, they are consistently applied and enforced. And dad is the authority. Okay? So children need that. Again, it adds to their sense of security, their sense of stability in the family. The third virtue is teacher. Every child needs a dad to teach them how to do things. Teach them how to do things. I remember the first fish I ever caught was a catfish over here in the Neosho River over at Miami, Oklahoma. I was about 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. There was water coming over the dam and fishing right there by the dam. You look across the river and you see the city pool over there, for those of you who may know Miami, Oklahoma. And I was just learning how to fish. My dad was teaching me how to fish, and he fixed my bait and threw it down there, and I caught a catfish. Now, I was with my dad. Now, I remember that just as I was excited about that as I was catching the fish. Catching the fish. My dad taught me how to work on cars. He taught me how to live life. He taught me how to have patience. He taught me, because I was a strong-headed little boy. I was real, oh my. Concept, if you're familiar with Dennis the Menace, you know, I was Dennis the Menace on steroids.
Dan is over here laughing.
But my dad had a calming effect on me. Dad never, hardly ever raised his voice. My dad was a big man. He had a lot of bulk. He was strong.
He was strong well into his 70s and 80s. I couldn't reach around him. His shoulders were so muscular, I couldn't put my hand all the way around him and grip him.
Yeah.
And all it would take is for him to flex, and he would break my grip.
And so when Dad said something, when he did say something, that's what it is. And I knew that's what it was. Okay? And so he taught me how to do a lot of things, but he also taught me how to be a person, how to be the man that I've grown into be. My dad was a man that did that. You know, he allowed me to come into his life and to do things that were really relevant. And perhaps one of the greatest things that he taught me was a great love for God. a great love for Scripture, a great respect for the authority of God's Word and the principles that are contained in it. He taught me a love of teaching as he loved to teach. And so he taught me a whole lot that has molded me into where I am today. And then fourth of all is to be a friend. Be a friend. Be involved in your children's lives. Be involved with them. Do things with them, but also be involved with them. It's not just a matter of doing things, but relate with them. Laugh with them. Have fun with them. Be their friend and be there for them when they have troubles that we talked about earlier in the program. Yeah. And so we need those. Strength, authority, teacher, and friend from our dad.
As we're getting ready to kind of wrap things down, so many times in our society, the word father brings up a stereotypical dud. And that if someone's a really good father and a good man, then it's just a relic from the past. We need men to be fathers. We need good men to be fathers. We need good men to be husbands. We as a city, we as a nation, need men to be men and to take on those roles. You know, gentlemen, do you always trying to have intimate times with our wives and that type of thing? When you have kids, that gets to even be more challenging. But you know, one of the things that women truly appreciate and really, I guess you could say, gets them in the mood or can affect that is when they see the father playing with their children. That gives her a sense of security as well.
Yeah, that's right. And she sees that as a very loving thing to her.
Yeah. So this Father's Day, the month of June, coming up June 15th, there's 10 simple things to think about being a father. One, worship with your children every Sunday. Show them behavior that God is important to you. Because you're going to raise them up with one of two thoughts. They're either a created being of God or they're a mutant chimp. Some sort of atomic anomaly. And they get that from you. Love, respect, and honor the mother of your children. Let your home be a place of harmony between you and your wife. They will respect her if you do.
Yeah, the saying is that the greatest gift a dad can give his children is to love their mother.
Absolutely. Talk to your children, not just about sports. Ask them about their day. Always try to be home for dinner. How many times have we talked about this on this program? Have dinner together. A time where they can talk and just talk about the day. Give your kids lots of hugs and start young so it'll be natural when they're older. Make time to do things with your children. Balance unconditional love with consistent discipline.
That's an important one.
And be generous with verbal affirmation. Give them the kudos, the pat on the back. Give them a crisp $5 bill when they've completed some chores to establish responsibility. Let your kids know they can talk to you about anything, anytime, anywhere. You are the go-to man.
That's exactly right. And many times those kids will want to talk to you and just talk your leg off when they're real small.
But and that's good.
The important times when they're teenagers, many times between 10 o'clock at night and 2 in the morning.
Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Let them discover God has a place for them and follow their dreams. And Ephesians 6:4 goes on to say, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Like Nike says, just do it. This is the life you've always wanted. And it is our ability, our choice, to make it a great one. So as we're going into being fathers, we're going into being husbands, let's do the best we can. If we didn't have the best teacher in the world, call Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and learn how to be a husband, learn how to be a father. It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.